Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the new Monday show on blogtalkradio.com, where the good news is shared. I am Charlene, your hostess and flock leader of Personal Devotion Assembly Care. Thank you for listening to this religious education radio talk show, where we educate and inspire one another and promote good deeds captured of entertainers and marketplace venues. At this time, you should have a notebook, pencil, and Bible for our Bible study. Please use the King James Version, as I will help you to understand its meaning during the discussions. Just a reminder, I am not a preacher with a certificate. Today's Bible study lesson will be from the book of Esther, beginning with chapter 2, verse 5. The New Monday Show believes in God as the maker of heaven and earth, and from whom all thoughts of truth and peace proceed, who came down to earth in the image of a humble servant to serve humankind. The New Monday Show calls him Jesus. Others, faith believers, may refer to him as such names as Yeshua or Isa. The New Monday Show believes in the Holy Trinity of God and the promise of his return. Social calendar events and announcements. Today is Countess Vaughn, Deborah Lee, Megan Good, and Marcia Ambrose's birthday. We remember Rosetta Olive Burton. Tomorrow, we remember Whitney Houston. Wednesday is the state of Missouri. And Aaron Hall, Kylie Jenner, and Angie Harmon's birthday. We remember James Conway, photographer Farley. Thursday, we remember Alex Haley and Robin Williams. And it's Sons and Daughters Day, along with birthdays, Soleil, Chris Hemsworth, and Viola Davis' birthday. And Friday in theaters, we have Sausage Party and Pete's Dragon. New album, Bad Boy Box Set by rapper Diddy Combs. Saturday, we remember Helen Hurley Brown. Sunday is annual Navajo Code Talkers Day, along with birthdays, Susan Cynthia Olson, Myla Kunis, Palmer Williams Sr., Steve Martin, Halle Berry, and Jack A. Harry's birthday. So happy birthday to all our celebrities. Dancing with the Stars pro Kim Johnson married her season 20 partner, Shark Tank judge Robert Herjavec, in Los Angeles on July 31st. Ballet dancer Misty Copeland and boyfriend Olu Evans got married July 31st in Laguna Beach, California, reports Us Weekly. Chris Klein and wife Lena Rose Thiefault welcomed their first child, son Frederick, July 23rd, the same day as my birthday. So congratulations. We'll also keep your household or your unique household in our prayers box. Josh Groban and Kat Dennings have split after 2 years of dating. Let's keep them in prayer. Actor Michael Chiklis released his solo album, Influence, for pre-sale August 1st. J.K. Rowling confirmed that Harry Potter and the Cursed Child would be the final chapter in the series. This concludes all of the celebrity announcements from Us Magazine. At this time, you may say aloud names of celebrities, entrepreneurs, or families in need of prayer. For personal direction or group prayer, please email me at personaldevotion@familybondingportal.com. Let's continue to pray for marriages, for unique households, for our world, for all entrepreneurs, all students who are returning back to school choice, whether it be public schools, charter schools, private schools, or homeschooling. Globally, the major faith believers are Jews who use the Torah, Christians who use the Bible, and Muslims who use the Bible and or Quran. They and I believe there is only one God, one human race that descended from one couple, Adam and Eve, one heaven, one hell, and one way to achieve salvation and eternal bliss. Now, as we prepare for our meditation poem, I want you to focus on self and your unique household. Let's take a deep breath. Slowly exhale out all the negativity of the weekend, of today, or of what you may have to do this evening. Meditation poem, I Am, by Michael Wynn. Let's say aloud slowly, shall we? I am strong. I am gentle. I am proud. I am humble. I am confident. I am beautiful. I am intelligent. I am becoming all that I can be. We are all children of God. Deep breath again. And slowly exhale. Today I proclaim that I believe in the Holy Trinity of God. I give thanks to Him on this day and forevermore for sending Jesus to save me from eternal sin. I believe in the unique calling of my ministry and this fellowship. Holy Spirit, guide me continuously so that I do not stray from the purpose of its creation. Lord, allow wisdom and knowledge to enter into the souls of all my audiences to be endured forever within their unique household, upon generation, my soul says, Amen. Visitors, if you've never read the Holy Bible, please open the Bible at this time. The first few pages should list the Old and New Testaments accordingly. Within the Testaments are books, and the books are chapters, and the chapters are verses. The Torah, for believers who use it, includes the Old Testaments, which are recorded in the Holy Bible that we use today. New listening members, do not read ahead of our scripture lesson episode. If you feel led, read over signed scriptures again or share with family or friends. Again, our Bible read-along will be from the book of Esther. Okay, this is a new book that we're discussing at this time. Beginning with chapter 2, we concluded chapter 1, so now we're on to chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. Faith believers, ready? Let's begin. Now, in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he bought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter. Pausing for a moment. Listeners, it's very important for you to write down Esther's name and, a.k.a., her real name, Hadassah. Okay, and she's Mordecai's uncle's daughter. So it's his uncle's, Mordecai's uncle's daughter. Now, I believe she's also a Jew. So we're within this particular book of the Bible, we're discussing Judaism. Again, remember that the Old Testament are mainly of the discussions of Judaism and the Jews. Okay. And did you know that no one had ever heard of Vashti or Esther? Any. There is no history outside of the Holy Scriptures. Isn't that amazing? And just a reminder, there are many versions of the Holy Scriptures, even the King James Version. And as we continue to read this book, you will find that there is no real discussion of the usage of the word God. He's not even mentioned within this particular book of the Bible. But he is described. There are many adjectives of the description of God. Okay? So some people believe that this particular book of the Bible wasn't really even provoked by God, but just discussions of the Jewish laws and community state laws, the laws of how women were to give respect to their husbands and how the queen had rulership of women within the given nation. And as we know from reading from the chapter 1, Queen Vashti had disrespected her king, her pharaoh, or the pharaoh, the king of the nation of Persia. Although unique households have a male and female, or a two-party household, where we call kings and queens within our own unique households. Even today, some people still reference their spouse as king or queen. And sometimes you may even hear discussions of a mate calling a male gender within their given unique household as pharaoh. Because all pharaohs were nothing more than real leadership within a given nation. Okay? So, let's continue. With verse 7, we were discussing how Esther is Mordecai's uncle's daughter. For she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own child, for his own daughter. Pausing for a moment. There, as we have discussed, and I will continue to discuss, the importance and value and respect of referencing and acknowledging real mommies and daddies. You know, a lot of people, especially people of color, have grown up within a cultural tradition of allowing children to live with other people other than their real biological parents. And now with this given discussion, we're discussing a child, a female, Esther, who who is growing up and becoming a fair and beautiful young lady, yes, but her parents are dead. Her real biological parents are dead, and so Mordecai has become her guardian. So this is not a part of a generational dysfunction. Listeners, when would it be a generational dysfunction? When could we have classified this as a generational dysfunction? I would say an example would be is if there were other relatives within his given family structure where the parents had died and the children were being raised by a guardian or another uncle, etc. If there was a repetitious mannerism or activities of such where family members were dying, people were taking over, children were left behind with no biological parents, and so other kin would take the responsibilities of raising children. Now that would be considered and classified as a generational dysfunction. But here we don't have any other findings of such pattern within Mordecai's family set. Okay, so we're learning about Mordecai, and we're learning about his uncle's daughter named Esther, who has no biological parents because they are dead, and he's raising her. So continuing with verse 8. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan, the palace, to the custody of Hegai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of Hegai, keeper of the women. Pausing for a moment. So we're learning about the Jews and Jewish laws, whether they be cultural laws or whether these are real governmental laws. And what we find is there was a person that was in charge of the females, that was in charge of the maidens. Because now we've lost Vashti. Vashti, that was Vashti's job. But remember, she didn't want to get naked in front of a whole lot of people. She just pleased her husband, the king. So now she's been dethroned from the kingdom, from her responsibilities. Whether it, at this time we think it's right or wrong, these are the events that really, really did happen. So, now we have a replacement, a temporary replacement for the queen's duties of the keeper of the women within the nation under the king's rulership. And so now she's responsible for Esther as well. Verse 9, and the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him. Him, who are we referencing? The king. And he speedily gave her things for purification, with such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not shew it. And Mordecai walked away every day, or walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Now when every maid's turn was come to go into King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months. So she had been there for a year, according to the manner of the women. For so were the days of their purification accomplished. So it took an entire year for the purification process of the Jewish women. to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. Then, thus came every maiden unto the king. So let's pause for a moment. So there was a purifying process. That's when, you know, let's say you were having a bad day and you came home and you were like, you know, I'm just going to take some time for myself for a moment. That's a part of purifying your spirit, your soul, your mind. So the Jewish women had a custom of purification as well. However, their purification lasted for an entire year. And so we have 6 months, half of the year, with the oil of myrrh, and then another half of the year with the sweet odors and other things. So in verse 13 of chapter 2, then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went on, the morrow she returned into the second house of the women, to the custody of Shajagas, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. Okay? So the kings would call them by name back in the day. Interesting, huh? Ladies, so the king called so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And if he called again, then they could come back into the king's house. Now it's Esther's turn. And she went. And the next day she returned into the second house of the women, to the custody of Shazaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. Now, when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abiel, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. Let's pause for a moment. Even in Jewish custom, they even referenced Abiel, the uncle of Mordecai. Even though he is dead, he is still Esther's real biological father. And I'm grateful that we are reading in text, in the scriptures, of referencing and giving acknowledgement to this female's father. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all of them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus, into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. Pausing for a moment. So we have where everyone who saw Esther were amazed, were happy, and Esther received favor from God for that to have occurred. Sometimes you will hear people say, well, if you don't have the favor of God, if it be not of God's will, then you won't do such and such, or you won't be able to accomplish such and such. But here we have where Esther was given favor. It didn't reference that favor came from God, but there is no way possible that everyone within the community gave her favor. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon whose head? Upon her head, and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast unto all his prince and his servants, even Esther's feast. And he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. So in other words, that's what he was supposed to do during a wedding ceremony. And also a throne official ceremony. And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Now, remember, Esther had not showed her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her, had warned her, had suggested to her. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlain, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen. And Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And our last verse for this discussion and Bible study, verse 23, and when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree. And it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. Thus ends the reading of God's words. For next time, we'll continue our discussion of the book of Esther with chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now let's give praise for this Bible study episode. Amen. Jot down any questions that you may have of this episode and email to me. This has been your hostess. I thank you again for participating at the new Monday show. My online page is the Family Bonding Portal at CharleneStevens.com, where you will find other family-friendly amusements and personal devotion themes. May you have a blessed and productive week, and don't forget to smile to one stranger every day. This broadcast was provided by God in Christ Purpose Assembly. Now, amen, to the one who keeps us from going astray. We thank you for this time of learning. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise on these things that you have both learned, received, and heard, and see in me and see me do, do. And the God of peace shall be with you.